With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, we're here. We're back.
We're back.
After break, for the second hour, Upstate Outdoors. If you missed the first hour, it'll be a little bit. You can pick it up on podcast. You can go to 1063WORD.radio.com.
All the dots, and
you can pick up the podcast for the first hour, and then the second hour. Those usually don't go up till after the show.
Right, but it'll be a little while this afternoon.
And also, if you're out of the listening area and you want to stream the show live, you can also go to that same site.
And just listen to it.
You
it'll say it. Listen
stream
now.
Stream it live wherever you are. And if you missed first hour, we did a little discussion about the difference between food plots and baiting for deer and the whole food strategy for hunting deer over food. Then we talked with Jamie Rampe and got the 411 on fishing Lake Hartwell.
Yep.
And then we just finished up the first hour with talking about a 140-inch class deer that was killed on Fance Grove.
Giant.
And then coming up, after the Roadkill Cafe, of course, we're going to talk about a major announcement from Major League Fishing. They're going to acquire FLW. The good thing about that is we'll get some of these letters out of the way. Or maybe, I don't know if they'll call MLF, MLF, FLW, MOUSE or whatever, but Major League Fishing is going to acquire FLW. Don't really know what that means, but we'll tell you what we know. And then we're going to talk to my buddy Russ Bailey, Brush Pile Fishing TV show. We know what he's all about. He's all about crappie fishing.
Yeah, big time.
So we'll talk to Russ. Then we got our calendar of events, and I'll tell you the story of Pablo Escobar in today's parting shot. But right now, it's time to head to the kitchen.
So I know we've been talking a lot about deer.
Yep.
Doing a lot of deer, cooking a lot of deer, having a lot of deer recipes.
We still got some catfish in the freezer, by the way.
And after my discouraging hunt last weekend, I didn't want to do deer right then. So we had some catfish left over that's, you know, probably about, 6 weeks in the freezer. So I found this great recipe on cookster.com, which is a recipe cooking website that I'd never been to before. And the reason why I picked it is because you marinate the catfish before you fry it. I mean, everybody loves fried catfish, cornmeal, and all that. But this particular one is going to take 2 pounds of small catfish fillets. The recipe specifies small because they say that the meat's better on smaller fish. And I'm not talking about tiny, but not these big farm-raised 30-pound commercial catfish. Fresh caught, smaller, eaten-sized catfish, 2 pounds.
Okay.
3 tablespoons yellow mustard, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1 tablespoon of pickle juice.
Pickle juice.
Pickle juice. 2 teaspoons of a mild hot sauce, 1 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, 1 cup of corn flour, which corn flour is actually just fish fry, like house saltery.
Yeah.
1 cup of cornmeal.
Oh, okay.
Okay, corn so flour you're using and corn flour and cornmeal.
And cornmeal, okay.
Tablespoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of garlic. This calls for frying in peanut oil, which I would recommend because peanut oil is fantastic.
Yep.
So what you're going to do is you're going to wash the catfish, remove the skin, any bones, just clean them up. Unless the fillets are really small, cut them into strips about 1.5 inches wide. So you're kind of like catfish fingers.
Nuggets, fingers.
Fingers.
Yeah.
Blend the mustard, lemon juice, pickle juice, hot sauce, and Worcestershire sauce in a bowl. You throw the catfish fillets in there, coat with the marinade, let them marinate for about 30 minutes in the refrigerator. Combine the corn flour, which is house saltery or seafood breading. The cornmeal, the salt, and the garlic, stir it all up in a large bowl. 4 to 6 pieces of catfish into the corn flour mixture and toss around to coat the catfish. And then you repeat that. Pour the oil into a cast iron skillet, a depth about 1 inch. So this is not a deep fry. It's a pan fry.
It's pan fry. Okay.
The trick is 375 degrees on your oil. Don't
it's as hot.
Yeah, it is. That's why they're using peanut oil.
That's going to make a mess, too.
It is going to make
a mess.
I don't
mind making a mess.
I know.
Because I don't have to clean it
you
up.
You cook, I clean.
Yeah.
375 degrees. So the peanut oil is able to cook at a higher temperature, and I think that's why they're suggesting that.
Yeah.
So work in batches. Keep your oil temperature up. Fried fish tends to get greasy if you let your temperature come down on the oil, throwing too much in the pan at one time or whatnot. Work in batches, fry the catfish until they turn golden brown. We're going to try this weekend because I like the pickle juice and the marinade, and it's just a little different kick, kind of like Cajun-ish.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
What?
Church's fried chicken.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know their recipe.
Well,
these are like sort of Cajun-ish catfish.
Well, it's not so much that, but you remember back when we were doing a lot of beach fishing, Edisto.
Yeah.
We'd come home the back way.
Come home the back way
and stop in the chicken place. What was that? It starts with a Roundo.
Roundo.
We'd stop at the Churches and
yes,
Roundo.
At the gas station.
At the gas station
yes.
and Churches whenever they had
yes.
it.
Yes. Oh, man, their chicken's
And I
good.
Read about that. I was like, man, this is – I mean, of course, you know, you've been on the beach and, you know, everything, so whatever you eat's going to be good because you're hungry. And but I read that what they do is they use – jalapeno pepper juice.
To fry the chicken?
To marinate their chicken.
Okay, well, you're using pickle juice, which is vinegar-based.
Yep.
And then you're using some hot sauce,
yeah.
which gives it a little heat.
Yeah.
But they say a mild hot sauce. I wouldn't throw, like, Tabasco in it. Maybe a little Frank's.
Yeah.
They actually called for something called Crystal Louisiana hot sauce, which is a mild hot sauce.
Yeah.
That'd be good. We're gonna do that. Probably do it.
How much pickle juice?
I'm over here shuffling papers because my laptop's not working. A tablespoon. I might go to 2.
Nah, I might go to about half a jar.
What?
Yeah.
Then it'll be very pickly. And don't forget, you're using mustard, too, so you get a little spice from the mustard.
Yeah.
And you get a little bit of acidity from the lemon juice.
Yeah, but my taste buds aren't what they used to be. I usually double up stuff.
Oh,
you know
gosh.
Me.
This guy puts Frank's Red
you
Hot
know me.
On everything.
That's right. I put that stuff on everything.
You do.
Yeah.
Frank's.
I'd say that, right?
We're gonna try this through the course of the week. And I'll let y'all know how it goes. I was just looking for something different that... My feelings got hurt over the deer, okay? And I didn't want a deer recipe.
She wasn't going to cook deer.
I wasn't going to cook deer. I'm like, give me something swimming.
Well, I tell you this. I did recover the rack of the deer. I actually recovered the skull. The skull, whatever you want to say. The cap. But, whew, yeah.
We didn't.
It was not a pleasant experience.
I mean, I'll get over it, but I just didn't feel like deer this week.
I hate buzzard tracking one. So, anyway, that's enough about that. We're going to go to our break now. Then when we come back, we got a major announcement from Major League Fishing about their new acquisition. And I tell you what, you know.
Kind of a big deal. Kind of a surprise.
It's a huge big deal. And we'll tell you everything that we know from Wired to Fish when we come back after this break.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're going to jump back over into the bass fishing arena. We've covered some of that. We'll cover some fishing next, talking to Russ Bailey.
We're getting all on the fishing.
We're gonna get some fishing in today.
Bass fishing,
but,
catfishing.
Earlier in the week, and still very, very relevant, is a news release that was sent out by FLW Communications, Major League Fishing. You know, that's the MLF, yeah. The Bass Pro Tour folks,
right,
are scheduled to purchase FLW. That's the Forest Wood Cup and all that, you know,
right.
All them folks. All that bunch.
Another league.
All that bunch. One league's going to purchase another league. Major League Fishing, MLF, announced today, which was, I think, on Thursday, that it has reached an agreement to acquire Fishing League Worldwide. That's FLW. That's the Walmart group and all that bunch.
Right.
Or used to be. I don't know if Walmart's still a big contributor.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, the world's largest tournament fishing organization. The letter of intent sets in motion the most significant brand merger in competitive bass fishing history, linking a tour and original award-winning programming featuring the top professional anglers in the world to an extensive grassroots organization that serves tens of thousands of competitive anglers from high school and college to weekenders and tour pros. Jim Wilburn, the president and CEO of Major League Fishing, said, "We're thrilled about welcoming FLW to the MLF team. FLW shares our commitment to creating tournaments and opportunities centered on the success of the angler. Through this acquisition, we are better positioned to support anglers and sponsors at all levels." So, really nothing to read in between the lines there, because that's just like, yeah, we're happy to be here. We hope God willing, make it to the playoffs kind of thing. Our business plan always included reaching all levels of grassroots fishing, said Boyd Duckett. Boyd Duckett's a MLF co-founder. Of course, he's also was a big-time bass elite guy before, creating MLF and going over there. He's also the president of the Professional Bass Tour Anglers Association, the PBTAA, never heard of that. FLW does it best with the tour and grassroots tournament. Their reputation in competitive bass fishing is remarkable, and their culture has always been pro-angler, which makes this the perfect opportunity for both organizations. We couldn't be more excited about FLW, their team, anglers, and sponsors. I really don't know enough to read in between the lines on that, other than he says, they're about the angler. Because, that was one of the criticisms.
FLW is a great grassroots program. Yeah.
Well, with him emphasizing the angler of it, that was one of the things that those guys, when they left Bass and started MLF, they were like, we're tired of working for the organization and what's best for the organization. And we want something that's better for the angler.
Sure. So I wonder how that's going to run down into FLW. They're very non-specific.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. There's going to be a lot to come out of this. Let's see. Now, the article quotes FLW President of Operations, Kathy Fennell. "This announcement marks a thrilling new chapter in FLW's history as we join Major League Fishing and begin a new era in the sport of competitive bass fishing." Okay, No insight there. "As part of the Major League Fishing team, we look forward to enhancing and expanding tournament offerings to our anglers." Okay, so maybe they're going to do more tournaments or whatever, and fans. "Our teams have a very similar mission and vision to support anglers at all levels." There's that spin again. It's all about the anglers. "And it provides the industry with unmatched opportunities and grow the sport. The complementary strengths of our organizations make this a win for the entire sport." So,
I'm hoping at the local level that, and this is, the FLW at local level has pretty high entry fees, and I don't think the payout is necessarily relative with the entry fees at the local level. I'm talking BFL.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that the changes will include a little more reasonable entry fee for anglers at a local level.
Yep.
With a little better payout.
Okay. Well,
that
was the big thing about the guys that when they started Major League Fishing, they were going to get paid regardless of how they finished. They were going to get paid to fish.
Well, in FLW, your entry fees get spread across the organization, not necessarily payout for a particular tournament or a particular series.
Mm-hmm.
So entry fees are being spread out through the organization, not necessarily that particular tournament. So they may be trying to balance that out a little bit for your local anglers, you know, in BFL divisions.
Okay. Well, established in 2011... MLF, Major League Fishing, began as a television product and has grown into a sports league with the launch of the Bass Pro Tour in January of 2019. This year, MLF is a partnership between the PBTAA and Outdoor Sportsman Group, a division of Kroenke Sports and Entertainment.
Okay.
So, I knew it was Boyd Duckett.
Somebody.
I knew it was Boyd Duckett was behind that. I know Johnny Morris is somewhere in there, you know, with Bass Pro.
Yeah.
And I know, I think even KVD was one of the, I don't know the hierarchy, so I'm just going to hush. As MLF continues to grow, we're committed to find the right opportunities to extend the Outdoor Sportsman Group properties. That was according to Outdoor Sportsman Group President and CEO Jim Liberatore said, through this acquisition, MLF can leverage our extensive media reach and award-winning content production to promote competitive bass fishing at all levels.
I don't know what that means either.
You know what I would read into that? And you know, anybody's guess is as good as mine. But one of the problems that Major League Fishing had was it was all – encapsulated.
Right.
You know, something was going on Tuesday and nobody knew what it was. And they were doing their own media and nobody knew where they were going to show up or when. And quite frankly, as much as we've tried to get people to explain it to us, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Well, I got a fish Tuesday and then I got Shotgun Group B starts on
Thursday.
Wednesday at noon. And I got, you know, so I don't know if maybe they're looking to FLW to help them with the media side of things. I mean, Major League Fishing started as a TV show, and it was the highest rated TV show, outdoor TV show.
Right.
So I would think they already had a handle on
that. And then I think it was the highest outdoor TV show, highest rated TV show, because they had their, hey, the most famous bass fishermen are out there just smacking them down in numbers, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, the familiar names are going in and they're going to fish this.
Well, the last quote here is from Trish Blake. It's been our mission since my father, Irwin Jacobs, purchased FLW in 1996 to bring the highest quality of tournaments to anglers, sponsors, and fans around the world. By joining forces with Major League Fishing, the sport of professional tournament fishing will be taken to new heights for anglers across the world at all levels. So nothing
I would be curious to see if they're going to do reformatting FLW or anything like that. I mean, and this just came out, and I haven't gotten really any more than what we've just said.
No,
I mean, as far as like changes and all that. So.
I don't think there's anything else in there. Final piece is Major League Fishing and Fishing League Worldwide anticipate an acquisition close date of October 31st, 2019. That's on Halloween.
Yeah.
Spooky.
Trick or treaty.
Trick or treat. Smell my feet. Give me a bass. something I can't eat. But anyway. All right. Well, let's go to our break, and then we're going to get our buddy, Russ Bailey. He's waiting in the wings. We're going to talk about some fish he can eat. That's crappy fishing.
Yeah. Crappy fishing. Right here. 106.3 WORD.
Hi. I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right. Well, I tell you what. We're going to last hour. We rang the cowbell.
We're ringing it again.
We're ringing it again for first-time interviewee on Upstate Outdoors. A good friend of mine from years and years ago. We got, if for those of you who are crappy fishing fans, and you'll have to excuse Russ because he mispronounces it like a lot of people out west, we got Russ Bailey from Brush Pile Fishing. Russ, welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Hey, great to be here, man. And you're right, man. We've been friends for many years. That means we're getting older, brother.
Well, you might be, but I've got a young wife, and she keeps me young. You know, I'll get up and I want to say, "Oh, so she quit." She say, "Quit acting like an old man."
I do tell
so
him
she
that.
Keeps me. She
He's
keeps
not
me
really
young.
Old.
But hey, I tell you what'll make you old is, man, when you look back and say, how many years have you been? Well, of course, you've been on the current Brush Pile Fishing TV show. What is this, 6, 7 seasons now?
We're starting season 6 in December. You're right, bud.
Wow. But then prior to that, you had Mid-South Crappie. And, man, you just seem like you've been on television or doing videos for a long, long time.
Well, you know what? It's been a while, and we took a little break in between the two shows, and we worked on some DVD projects for the B&M Pole Company. We had those in Bass Pro Shop, and then Brush Pile come along. And I tell you what keeps it great for me after all these years is here's what sets our show apart from others, at least I feel, is instead of you seeing just me every week doing the same thing, there's a fish, as you know, there are so many different ways to catch crappie, and we specialize in every technique. We'll get one of the best guides or tournament pros in a different area every week. And the way that I look at it, if you're my guest that week, this is your half hour. This is your story. You tell me why you like to catch crappie this way, what time of year. And, you know, after all these years, I still learn something every time I go do a show with someone.
Yeah. And
that is so cool.
That's the great thing, especially being associated with B&M is, I used to think I knew something about crappie fishing until I got in a boat with, somebody like Ronnie Capps or Kent Driscoll or Brad Whitehead or, just the list goes on, and you're like, wow, you just learn a lot of stuff.
It's funny you say that because I just did a podcast with Jack from B&M, and one of the things we talked about, what makes this show easy to do is because there are so many good B&M pro staff guys across the country in different lakes, and each one of them has their own specialty, but not just good, they're not just good at fishing, but explaining what they're doing and making it easy for someone to understand so they can go out and try it. It's been easy for me to do because of those guys.
Now, and having said all that, let me back up a little bit because we're, out here in South Carolina, we might have some folks who have not seen the show. Let's go ahead and we'll ask you again before we end the interview, but folks that are looking for Brush Pile Fishing TV, where are you on at?
Our new series will start December 30th, which is a Monday night, 8:30 p.m., and we are nationally on the Pursuit channel. And if you don't want to wait till then, you can go to our website or our YouTube channel. All of our previous shows are there to watch. They're 100% free. You don't have to join anything. You just pick the show you want and start watching.
And I got to admit to you, that's what I do.
We watch a lot.
We watch a lot of YouTube, and I'll be like, "Oh, let's see what Russ is up to lately."
We haven't turned real TV on in our house in a long, long time. Probably a year or more.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you something. We watch a lot of fishing shows on YouTube.
A lot
it's
of fishing
great.
Shows. Yeah. Learn a lot of stuff, too.
Well, with everyone's schedule nowadays, I mean, you're always busy doing something. And with the YouTube or like our website or whatever, that show's always there 24 hours. So if it's 1 o'clock in the morning when you get some free time and think, I want to unwind and watch it, guess what? It's there for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, of all the places and all the stuff, all the places that you've crappie fished at, and I'm going to pin you down a little bit. What would you have to say? I'm not even going to ask you to say number one, but what are a couple of things that stand out? It's like, wow, I can't believe, this guy does that or something like that. What's really stood out as far as people you fish with and the way you've caught fish?
I'll tell you what, just at the end of August, we did a show down on Arcabella, and we were doing what they call power trolling. You're spider rigging out the front of the boat with 3-ounce sinkers
wow.
on the bottom of them poles.
Yep.
And you're going fast. You're going 1.5 miles per hour. So now when you get a big, 2.5-pound arcabella fish, you also got the jig on there. You got a 3-ounce weight on there. That was something. Anytime I go dock shooting is great. Crankbaiting. I can remember the first time I ever went crankbait fishing. That was with Ken Driscoll. And the funny story about that, if you look at that first show that him and I did together, when I would get a crappie on that crankbait, man, you could tell I was not afraid to handle it, but you could tell something was up. What people didn't know was I cut the end of my finger off like a couple of days before that. They sewed it back on. I had all those stitches in there, and all I could see was that crankbait hook getting caught in there.
Oh, wow, yeah. Hey, put a zipper on this thing. Just sew it back on. But, I've done both of those with a couple of different folks. And been dock shooting with you, and but the crank baiting too. A lot of folks don't realize that you can take a Bandit 300 and you can throw that thing faster than you would think. Any
so
fish
effective.
Would. Yeah, that's right. Because you went down.
Yeah.
You went down and we did it on Gunnersville.
We did. We had the pleasure of fishing with Kent and Gunnersville.
That is an amazing technique. I have to agree with you on that.
Well, you cover so much water, and it seems like the hotter the water in the summer, the better the crankbait bite, because those fish are going to be suspended above the thermocline. And if you know a few key areas to hit, like riverbeds, point drop-offs, you can pinpoint those fish. And you said it, you're moving fast, so you're covering a lot of water. And, brother, you're getting that reaction bite. It's not necessarily because they're hungry. They see that, they feel that vibration, and wham, you'll catch some crappie about same size of the crankbait, and you're thinking, what was he thinking?
Yeah. They're aggressive on that crankbait, on those
crankbaits. Oh, yeah.
And I know, in Mississippi's always, that's always, you got those big lakes, Arkabutla and Grenada and Sardis and Enid and even Barnett. But you've done some shows here in South Carolina and Georgia, too. I know Clark's Hill's a big favorite of yours, and I know you've been down to Santee Cooper.
Oh, yeah. Clark's Hill, I've had the pleasure of taping a couple times with Derek Fulton, which is one of my heroes. He's a retired Army vet. He's went overseas. He's a great American, great fisherman. And then, do I have to give Whitey Outlaw credit?
No, you don't have to. Yeah, that's okay with me.
I'll tell you what, man. Anytime that me and him get together, it's a hoot. And it's just a shame you can't see the things that we can't put on TV.
I can imagine. I can imagine there. Well, I got a question for you, Russ. Have you ever done a show on Lake Greenwood in South Carolina?
I have not.
Okay. That's going to have to – because Boat Girl and I, we've got some future plans around Lake Greenwood, and so might have to get you on there once I figured it out and can corral them up, because there's some unique fishing that goes on in that lake too.
I'll tell you what, I love that. We love branching out into new lakes, places we've never been to, different guests on the show. So if you get that thing figured out, you call me. We'll get this thing set up.
Absolutely. Well, Russ, before we let you go, if folks want to get more information, they want to find out how to, view you, get a listing of all your shows, what's the best place for them to go to get more information?
There's a couple ways. You can go to our website, which is just brushpilefishing.com. We also have a Facebook page where we keep that updated with fresh information, and we have a lot of giveaways on there. So you want to get signed up for those. And the newest thing that we're doing, we started a couple weeks ago, we have a weekly podcast on iHeartRadio. Just go to iHeart, get in the podcast section, and look up Brush Pile Fishing.
Awesome. Man, Russ Bailey, thanks for being on the show with us. Great interview. And, hey, we look forward to getting you here in South Carolina.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, it's always a pleasure talking to you guys. I sure enjoyed it and appreciate it.
All right, take
Wonderful.
Care. Yep.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
You bet. Bye-bye.
All right. So, what do you think? We going to get him on Lake Greenwood?
Man, there's...
We could take him on Lake Greenwood catching white perch.
Man, this past spring, there were some big ones.
Yeah. And he likes the long line troll. I tell you what, he does like the long line troll.
Well, you like the long line troll.
Yeah.
So there you go.
I might have to take him. I don't know if I could be on TV again, though. I think I've been on TV one time kayak fishing for bass.
Really?
Yeah, that's the only time I've ever been on TV.
I don't think I've ever been on TV.
Yeah.
That's okay, though.
Well, we're going to go to our break. When we come back, we'll bring the calendar of events and our parting shots, a story about Pablo Escobar. What?
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And now is the time in the show when we do our calendar of events. What we got, Boat Girl? Gotta cut that button off.
Man, you know, we do so good, and we start getting towards the end of the show, and I don't know what button to hit, and I'm spilling my water everywhere. It's just the wheels are falling off. It's that time of year again. South Carolina hunter education classes are being offered across the upstate. The South Carolina hunter education class is recommended for motivated students ages 12 years and older with good reading and comprehension skills who have some firearm and hunting knowledge or experience. Course materials are on a 6th grade reading level. While we do not discourage any age from attending the class, only children age 10 and older may actually take the final exam. There's two upcoming class dates, Sharpshooters Gun Club and Range, which is here in Greenville, Saturday, October 19th, 8:30 a.m. to 4 o'clock p.m., and also right down the street at Cabela's on Saturday, October 26th.
That's next week and then the next week.
Next week and then the next week.
Yep.
So get your kiddies in hunter education. Also, October 24th, which is on Thursday, Piedmont Chapter of National Wild Turkey Federation is holding their annual Hunting Heritage Banquet at the South Carolina National Guard Armory at 165 Industrial Park Road, Big City of Union, South Carolina. This starts at 6 p.m., features dinner and a live auction. For more information, contact Kevin Shropshire at 864-426-1840 or email kshropshire@countyofunion.com. If you have an event you'd like to share with our listeners, you can contact us by email at upstateoutdoors@1063WORD.com.
All right, without any delay, hit it. Okay, now this, I got this off Outdoor Hub. It's a pretty bizarre story, and it's kind of long, so here we go. We'll make fun of it at the end if we got time. If you aren't familiar with this story of Andrew Thornton II and Kentucky's cocaine bear, here's a quick rundown. Andrew was an ordinary farm kid from Kentucky. He got into trouble as a youngster and eventually found himself in a military academy. After that, he became a Lexington narcotics police officer, and we'll see the irony in this later on. He also served time. Well, I won't say served time. He also served busting people on drug charges as a narcotics officer, and then he became a practicing Lexington lawyer.
Okay.
Some even believe Thornton strategically planned his time on the right side of the law to help bridge connections with other shady characters across the globe. Now, according to Kentucky for Kentucky, I guess that's the publication, in 1981, Thornton had been accused of stealing weapons from a California naval base and conspiring to smuggle half a ton of marijuana into the United States. He was somehow able to evade those charges and got off only having to pay a small fine and spend 6 months in prison, and has suspended his legal license, I'm sure. You're probably wondering now, why are we talking about this man and his trouble? But bear with us, because the story's about to get turned on its head. Now, in 1985, Thornton had stepped up his criminal activities in a major way and had been making regular trips to Colombia to smuggle cocaine into the United States. Now, during one of those runs, Thornton reportedly had a parachuting accident. And he fell to his death in some guy's yard in Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, apparently, when they found his body, he had on night vision goggles, a bulletproof vest, Gucci loafers, and he also had about $4,500 in cash jammed in his pockets. Oh, yeah, there was also a duffel bag with roughly 75 pounds of coke in it. And that's where things get a little bit weird. See, about 3 months later, after his death, the body of a black bear was discovered in Georgia's Chattahoochee National Forest. Not that far, you know, straight down. Now, Kentucky for Kentucky reports this is how the story appeared in the New York Times, about a cocaine and a dead bear. A 175-pound black bear apparently died of an overdose of cocaine after discovering a batch of the drug, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation said today. The cocaine was apparently dropped from a plane piloted by Andrew Thornton, a convicted drug smuggler who died September the 11th in Knoxville, Tennessee, because he was carrying too heavy a load and parachuted out. Okay, the Bureau said the bear was found Friday, and this is not anything recent, I don't think, in northern Georgia among 40 opened plastic containers with traces of cocaine. The bear ate it. You don't need to be an expert to know that that's a lot of blow for a bear to get its paws on. Just imagine how this went down. The bear was probably rummaging through the forest, feasting on berries and bugs, when suddenly it was raging through the trees and stripping off Columbia stardust. Now, Kentucky for Kentucky did some further poking around for this story. Eventually, they got in contact with the actual medical examiner, who's now retired, who performed the bear's necropsy, and the memory of the cocaine bear was still fresh in his mind. He said its stomach was literally packed to the brim with cocaine. That it, there isn't a mammal on the planet that could survive that. Cerebral hemorrhaging, respiratory failure, hypothermia, renal failure, heart failure, stroke, you name it, the bear had it. The bear's body was apparently in good shape, though, so the examiner thought it would be a waste to have it cremated. He made some phone calls, had it taxidermied by a friend, and then gifted the animal to the Chattahoochee River National Recreation Area.
Okay.
So they had the cocaine bear stuffed. The cocaine bear sat on display in the visitor center for a while before mysteriously disappearing along with a handful of other artifacts.
Okay, this is just getting weirder by the second.
Exactly. The stuffed cocaine bear switched hands a few more times after that, including being sold to country music legend Waylon Jennings.
Waylon!
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Finally settling in the Kentucky Fun Mall, which is located in northern Lexington. Now, Kentucky's cocaine bear, a.k.a. Pablo Escobar, for those of you who are Narcos fans out there,
that's right,
has become sort of a centerpiece or mascot after its bizarre journey throughout the bluegrass state.
That is just like, you got me way in the beginning, something about a half a ton of marijuana, and then it just goes, I don't know where you get this stuff, PG.
I get it off the internet.
But apparently that bear was pretty special if Waylon Jennings wanted it.
Yeah.
I'm a big Waylon fan.
Yeah, so apparently he ate, yeah, he's a big fan. He ate, like, what did they say, 75 pounds of cocaine?
That's just
woo.
People crazy.
And you thought Jimmy Buffett's God's own drunk, and that's when I first saw
when
the
I
bear.
When I first saw the bear, that was about the moonshine
and
bear.
And drank the moonshine.
The moonshining bear in the hills.
Little did he know about this.
Mm.
Well, we're out of time for today. Want to thank our guest, Jamie Rampey, FLW Lake Hartwell Pro, and also Russ Bailey, Crappy Fishing Pro, Brush Pile Fishing TV. Go get him on YouTube. That's what I do. And for those of you who are headed to the woods, we salute you. Good luck, y'all. Tell us what you kill. Send it to our Facebook page. And in the meantime, God bless. We're out of here. Stay tuned for John and Chuck.
Y'all have a great weekend right here, 106.3 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.